We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Tuesday in Brevard County, and we are alive to experience it ourselves. God is so good. So we want to thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. The broadcast is taking place this morning, 8:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening, and then on WWBC 1510 AM, the broadcast will re-air at 10:30 AM in the morning. So thank you for tuning in, being a part of this. We are so thankful to be able to come to you. Yesterday, we talked about building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And if you would like to build yourself up in the knowledge that you have of the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God, we have a wonderful opportunity for you. It is Advanced Christian Training Schools. It meets in our fellowship hall at 6 p.m. tonight, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a very small class. It's a free video Bible school. Some of the best-known preachers here in America are teaching the Word of God and helping people to understand and apply their faith to their everyday life. And like I said, it's absolutely free. If you would like to participate in that, it's not too late to get in on it. You can jump in anytime, 633-0432, Ted and Linda Emsom. Run that ministry, and they utilize our fellowship hall on Tuesday night. So 633-0432 if you would like to avail yourself of that opportunity. We would also like to invite you out tomorrow to our vintage worship service. I'm not leading the worship right now. I'm still dealing with a gas bubble that hasn't dissipated out of my eye yet from the detached retina treatment. So seeing the small print in the hymnal is a little bit of a challenge for me right now, but we've got a wonderful couple helping us with the praise and worship. And then we're going to have an intense time tomorrow. We're going to share a little bit from the Word, and we're going to touch heaven. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, it meets from 11 till 12. Last week I went over just a little bit, like 7 or 8 minutes. But we're generally pretty conscientious about the time factor. And so if you would come and join us, we have plenty of seats available, and we would love to have you join us. This coming Friday night at 7 p.m., we will be having our monthly prayer meeting where we will be touching heaven, asking God to deal with every aspect of our society and pouring out a desire and a longing for Him, back to basics. Was told, I haven't checked to verify this, but Vince Lombardi, back when he was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, by the way, that's my favorite professional sports team, when he was the head coach there, that every spring training he would open up, or not spring training, but he'd open up camp, and he would say, "Gentlemen, this is a football. This is a football." Like I said, that's a story I've heard. I've not verified it myself, but I do know this, that if we do not maintain the basics of the Word of God, if we do not maintain the basics of fellowshipping together and praying to God and staying connected to one another, then we are missing the basics. You know, there may be people who are exceptionally gifted at one aspect, but if they're missing the very fundamentals, you know, there's going to be problems. A few years ago, there was a breakout star in the Major League Baseball, and just one of the most exceptionally gifted athletes. But he kept making basic mistakes, things that people should have dealt with a lot earlier in his career, in his decision-making processes, and it kept reoccurring. And because of that, there were some people, and he actually ended up not developing quite as well as he should have at that point in time. And so we don't want that in our faith. We want to make sure that we are praying and seeking God and maintaining the basics in our relationship with Jesus. So yesterday we had talked out of Jude about building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And so we're doing a little mini series here right now because we're entering the spring season. I know that there's still several weeks of winter going on up there at up in the north, but we are preparing ourselves here to grow. So we've talked about everything that's coming up. Let's get right into the Word now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present." Okay, so let's look at this passage just a minute, because there's a contrast here between the way that Paul is operating and the way that other believers are operating. So let's look at verse number 7 first of all, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? One of the things that God deals with, specifically when Samuel was a prophet and he was looking to anoint Saul's successor, even though Saul was still alive, he was sent to the house of Jesse, David's father, and he saw the firstborn come, and Samuel thought in himself that the firstborn, he was handsome, he had all of the qualities that Samuel thought were necessary for a future king of Israel. And God said, "Do not look on the outward appearance, but look on the heart." So many times we can be deceived by what things appear on the surface without really analyzing what the foundation and the substance of is going on in that individual. James says, do not treat people differently if they've got money and if they don't have money. And so it says the same thing here. Do not look at things according to the outward appearance. A modern take on that sentence would be, do not judge a book by its cover. Do not judge a movie by the trailer that you see. Do not judge anything that goes on. Just, in fact, the Bible talks about that we are supposed to make righteous judgment, that we are not supposed to look at things just superficially. We are supposed to look at the substance. Even God doesn't judge us just by the things that we do, for he knows the thoughts and the intents of a heart. You can do the right thing with the wrong motive and not be in favor with God at that point in time. You and I, we have got to make sure that we are right inwardly. There are a lot of people who are sitting in churches and their hearts may not be right with God. And so as I'm talking to you, you know deep down whether or not you are right with God or not. You know, it is not what you assume. It is what you know. There are some people who don't give it any consideration. They think, oh, well, I said a prayer 40 years ago, And so I must be right with God now. That's not necessarily the case. You and I, we don't need to be making external judgments. We need to be making righteous judgments. We need to be looking at the very core, the very heart of the matter. And so Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he says, don't judge things, don't look at things according to the outward appearance. And he's specifically talking about the way they are viewing him at this point in time. Do not look at me and just make an extra. I believe it was Josephus wrote a description of Paul's appearance, and he was not an impressive man to look like, according to the description. You know, he just wasn't much of an intimidating presence. But there has been no one other than Jesus that has brought such a volume of spiritual revelation to us that is still blessing us 2,000 years later, as the Apostle Paul. And he started off as an enemy of the cross, an enemy of Christ, until he had his God encounter. Have you had an encounter with Jesus? Paul had his Damascus Road experience. He was on his journey with one purpose. He ended up arriving at his destination, but instead, as a prosecutor, he arrived in Damascus, a man in need of a friend. There was a man who was sent to him, who was sent with the purpose of bringing healing. I'm turning there. I'm just having a bit of a brain block right now. Goodness. Ananias was sent, because God said, a man by the name of Ananias is going to come and lay his hands on you, and you are going to have your sight restored. So, let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. That gets right down to the core of the matter, and that is this. Do you belong to Jesus? Paul said, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I don't belong to myself. I literally am God's property. I am his investment. He's invested in me. He's invested in you. He's done everything that is necessary for men and women and boys and girls to be saved. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's done it all. And so we need to act. We need to think. We need to make decisions as if we belong to God, because in reality, we do. We belong to him. He owns the title deed. And so I'm very thankful for that Christ is my owner. He is my possessor. He is the one who defends me, provides for me. He's my all in all. So let's look at, and what Paul says is we should not view ourselves as being the only person that Christ has redeemed, but we need to recognize Christ's redemption in other people in the body of Christ. We have an interesting philosophy at Merit Assembly of God. We recognize that we are not exclusively the body of Christ, but we also recognize we're not in cooperation or in competition with the other churches. Instead, we have the spirit of cooperation. There have been times when churches have been at enmity but with other churches and wanted to fight against this church and that church and all of that sort of stuff, and that's not the heart of God. The heart of God says, you know what? I need First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, and I need East Coast Christian Center, and I need River of Life Assembly of God, and I need Destiny Christian Center, and I need all of the Bible-preaching churches, and I need the believers in Jesus Christ, because we have a very real enemy, a very real foe. We have a very great need in that there are millions and billions of people who need Jesus as their personal Savior, and we have a ticking clock that says that the time of Jesus' return is growing closer and closer. And so we need to recognize the validity of the relationships and the treasures that God has placed in other people. Okay? And so Paul says, if you are Christ, then you need to consider this, that just as you are Christ, even so we are Christ as well. Verse number 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction. Okay, that's what I really wanted to talk about primarily here on the broadcast today, is that one of the ways that God builds us up, we talked about building ourselves up in our most holy faith, is one of the ways that he builds us up is he blesses us with the other people who are in the body of Christ. I am thankful for our deacons. We don't have a deacon-pastor hate relationship going on. We have a love relationship. We recognize each other's giftings. There are people in the body of Christ. They are way more gifted in areas than what we are. In fact, let me say this. I believe that one of the great tragedies of the church is that sometimes we have thought that if you were in love with God, that you would automatically end up full-time pulpit ministry. I believe that God has gifted the body of Christ to excel in every area. I believe that there are people who are gifted in administration. I believe that there are people who are gifted in construction. I believe that there are people in the body of Christ that are gifted in the area of income and giving and so many other areas, leadership training and development. You see, there's a vast array. There are people who are gifted musically. There are people who are gifted instrumentally. There are people who are gifted writers. All of those things. And I just want to build you up today. That's what Paul said, that Paul had received an authority from God. He had been authorized by God to edify the church at Corinth, not tear them down. God, when he authorizes somebody as an authority in your life, it will be to build you up. I will never forget a man in our church. He was teaching one time, and it was out of the book of Hebrews. And let me see if I can find it. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. I'm looking for us. Verse number 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I was like, wow, you know what? I had never really paid attention to that aspect of what God had given me as a responsibility, and that is to watch over people's souls. That part I got. But what this brother shared that day was, he said, my goal is to make Pastor Bob's overseeing of my spiritual development a joy and not a burden. I want him to have an easy job watching over my soul. And that was the part that was like, wow, what an awesome thought. And wouldn't it be great if we realized, not only as pastors, but as church members, that the relationships that God brings into our lives are for building us up, not tearing us down. in my marriage, I am there to build my wife up, not to tear her down. Now, I have not always been a perfect example of that, and that's why we need to ask for forgiveness. I'm probably talking to people who are flawed in that area as well, that where we may have done well at it for most of our life, but we may not have always done well at it. Guys, let me tell you this, words impact the women in our life way deeper than what we say them with. And so that's the way that they made it. They receive it. They take it personally, especially when it comes from the person who pledged to love them with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so you need to accept that responsibility and say, you know what? I am going to build my wife up. I am going to do such a wonderful job of loving her that our marriage is going to be adultery proof, that it's going to be a place of edification. I am going to build her up. I'm going to tell her that she is beautiful. I'm going to tell her that she is a powerful woman of God. I am going to speak over her that she is intelligent, that she is gifted, that she is a blessing to her workplace, that she is a wonderful mother. You and I, we need to be edifying our family. So that edification, that building up of one another, it takes place in our homes. It should be taking place in our churches. It should be taking place generationally. My goal, and you've heard me say this a lot, my goal is to build my kids up so that they are more gifted, and they are way more gifted. My daughter excelled in classes that I never got to take when she was in college. My son and my older daughter, they are both excellent when it comes to playing musical instruments. I've got another daughter gifted in the area of administration and theatrical production, things that I am not good at. And they are all going to make a generous, bountiful contribution to the body of Christ. I want to build them up. I don't want them to live in terror of their father. I want them to know that their father is their greatest cheerleader. Now, they knew growing up that if they did something that was not correct, that I was going to speak to them, that I was going to correct it, not because I didn't love them, but because I did love them, and I wanted to build them up, and I didn't want those mistakes to tear them down. You and I, we should look at our relationships and say, is this relationship building me up in God, or is it tearing me down? I've quit jobs before that were detrimental to my faith. It wasn't monumentally detrimental. It was just keeping me out of the house of God. And I didn't like that, so I quit. And so you and I, we need to analyze our relationships. There may be romantic relationships that are not building you up. We see abusive relationships taking place in America at an alarming rate. It seems to be increasing, not decreasing. That trend has got to change. On Friday night, we need to pray that God would reverse that trend, that it would not be tearing people down, but we would be building people up in their most holy faith. So let's go back and let's look at how the Corinthians were responding to Paul. I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Do you get what Paul is saying? He said, look, I'm here to build you up, and this is the thing that I'm hearing that you are saying, that my bodily presence is weak and my speech is contemptible. My speech is contemptible. Does that sound edifying to you? Does that sound like something that is building up the man of God who's, you know, trying to edify them, trying to help them navigate what had been a spiritual minefield? It was a it was a spiritual, I mean, there were horrible things that were taking place, things that were displeasing in God's sight. And Paul was helping them to set their house in order because God is not the author of confusion. And the way that some people responded was they rejected Paul's call. They criticized his appearance. And they said, we don't even like the way he talks. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've grown accustomed to it. But before I did this radio broadcast, I was like, you know, I don't know why people listen to me. I don't even like the sound of my own voice. And what has happened is the more that I've used that voice, the more that I use it to build people up in their faith, the more I say, you know what? It really doesn't matter what frequency or what tone my voice is coming through in. What is the message behind the voice? And I want you to know that God is looking to build you up. Society has done a tremendous job of deceiving people to think that God is their enemy and he wants to deprive them of everything. It's the same old argument that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God just knows he's trying to keep you from eating that tree because then you are going to be like God. You're just going to be like him. And it's because God's got bad motives that he's trying to prevent you from doing that. That's not the heart of God. There is nothing bad in the heart of God. God is for you, not against you. He wants to build you up. He wants you to be everything that he created you to be. He wants you to be a vessel of honor. He wants you to be a vessel of distinction. And you and I, we need to respond by building each other up and not just building ourselves up. I thank God for the Bible preaching churches here in Brevard County. And I pray that all of them are filled to overflowing. I pray that they have to go to multiple services because, you know what? There are that many people that need Jesus. There are more people that need Jesus in central Brevard County or in Brevard County as a whole then Merit Assembly of God will be able to reach all by ourselves. We need each other. So as you're looking around, look and see if there may be some friends that are tearing you down spiritually instead of building you up. Maybe you're not in a covenant relationship and all of a sudden your eyes are looking around and saying, you know, that person there, they're not building me up spiritually. They're tearing me down spiritually. Ask God, do I need to make an adjustment? And allow him to lead and guide you. Father, right now, I want to thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for building each other up through the words that you have given to us. Lord, we recognize each other as gifts from you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.